be here with you this morning. If you will, turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 47. For filling in, preaching and teaching, anytime it seems like when it's you do all three services, it can be overwhelming, and then when it's a really short notice, it can be really overwhelming. And but God is a good God, and He'll never put us in that position if we don't. He doesn't give us what we need to. At church, as I was telling Brother Kevin before Sunday school this morning, we've been going through three different series at church: Sunday school, Sunday morning, and Wednesday nights, and that certainly gives you a lot of things to chew on. And so we've been looking at Moses in the book of Exodus for Sunday school, so I thought, well, I'll just look back at one of those chapters. I mean, there's a lot of things that was a blessing to me. So I got started back in Exodus, and the Lord ended up taking me back to Genesis chapter 47. I just want to look at 12 verses this morning. And I've never really looked at these passages before. I began looking in Exodus chapter 1 when a new Pharaoh came up. And I thought, well, I'll preach or teach on the dangers of a new thing. You know, today, people cry out, we want something new. We want something new in every aspect of our life. But when we see another Pharaoh rose up, it wasn't a good thing. It was a new thing, but it wasn't a good thing. So I looked at the old Pharaoh and started comparing the two. And I just want us to notice the first 12 verses of Genesis 47. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan. And behold, they are come, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen." And he took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, "What is your occupation?" And they said unto Pharaoh, "Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." They said moreover unto Pharaoh, "For to sojourn in the land are we come. For thy servants have no pastures for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen." And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee, and the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any man of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle." And Joseph brought in Jacob his father, and sat him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, "How old art thou?" And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil had the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. When I look at this passage of Scripture, there is much I could get sidetracked on with this. And by God's grace, I just want to share the few thoughts this morning that He's given me with this. First thing I want to notice is the brethren came to Joseph. The brethren came to, and the dad comes to Joseph. And I think it's just a little reminder here that trials do, as Brother Brad was sharing with us this morning, and all of us are aware of the trial, the great trial that God brought him through. But all of us are aware of the famine. It was a sore famine. It was a bad famine. And in all of our lives, from time to time, we're going to have those famines. We're going to have those things that uproot us and that take us through great difficulty. You know, and as I think this morning of Brother Brad's testimony, I can tell you about a year ago, 43 years old, out of nowhere, my boss all of a sudden, for about a year or so, wants to pressure me into working Sundays. And I know there are jobs out there that Sundays are necessary. We need police officers. We need nurses. We need this. There's certain things that need to be done, but for what the Lord has called me to do, to be a member of one of His churches, what He was trying to pressure me into doing was something that I knew the Lord wouldn't have me to do that. And I took a year off. I ended up two winters ago working three Sundays. And it was some of the most miserable experiences, being forced to do something that you know God wouldn't have you to do. But it was a struggle, and it was a balance. And people would call me up and say, I want you to preach. And I'd say, well, this is the situation right now. And about a year ago, a year and a half ago, I had to make the decision by the grace of God, among other things coming up, that I didn't know what I was going to do, but I just had to trust the Lord. And I had to take a 50% pay cut at first. And with a year, the Lord has brought me back pretty much with overtime, at times making more than I was before. So it's a blessing when we just trust the Lord. And it wasn't easy, and even looking back on it. And I say all that to say this. We can be going along in life, and life is fine, and all of a sudden God tests us. God tries us, and we shouldn't be surprised. And it's so easy to say, oh, we need to just depend upon the Lord, and we need to. And I think all of us that have been through those things, it bolsters our faith when we go through great difficulty. It will bolster our faith if we rely upon the Lord. But I want us to notice just some things concerning family this morning. The first thing I want us to notice from this passage of Scripture is the example of the grace in Joseph's life. The example in Joseph's life of God's grace in his life. And as I study this, there may not be anybody here this morning that needs this lesson. But in studying this, the Lord convicted me. And I don't say that just to be saying that. It's true. Sometimes I'm not the son that I ought to be. And certainly in all other ways, I'm not the family member I ought to be. But think about Joseph. His brothers had abused him. His brothers, we already know, had already come and seen him prior to this, I believe. They wept when they seen him. But notice Joseph's grace, the grace of God within his life, to get beyond the grudge. I don't know that he ever had a grudge. But his brothers abused him. They sold him. They were jealous of him. So now here they come in their time of need, and Joseph is in a place of great power. And they're in a great time of need. And what is Joseph's response? Oh, you're going to get it now. Look what you did to me. And I think of Jesus Christ. Because the Israelites, his brethren, if you will, his kinsmen, if you will, they did the same thing to him. And he tells them that one day when they see him, I believe that they will weep, just as Joseph's brothers did as well. But what kind of a family member? You know, and again, it's been kind of weighing on me. When you get married and you have your kids and you have your family, it can be easy to be a good type of family member there. But when I think of my extended family, I have a stepbrother, a stepsister, one real sister, and none of us are really close. And I think, what kind of a brother am I to my siblings? What kind of a son am I to my siblings? They know I'm religious, but what kind of a testimony do I have? And this is what I want us to get. Joseph was sensitive, as we read these 12 verses, Joseph was sensitive to the needs of his physical family. How sensitive am I? How sensitive are we? You know, I know Home Baptist Church well enough to know it's close-knit, just like Faith Baptist Church. And when it comes to my church family, they're up, by God's design, they're up higher than my physical family is. I have no physical family as of now that lives close by. When me and Kim moved to Wauseon, we were young, just married, and we didn't know anybody. I mean, we felt so alone. And since then, the Lord has added just tons of kids that have grown up in the church and remain there. And the Lord has blessed us with many people and older people as well that are like family to us. Amen. And that's good. And that's a blessing from the Lord. And, you know, I often say I feel bad for those. I even have family members that I feel bad for those who don't have a church home, that have neglected the Lord. Many that have grown up in church and that have went off and neglected the Lord and went after the things of the world, and then they find themselves in later in life very, very lonely. They don't have the benefits of having a church family. But I think myself, and I think all of us here this morning, I would be safe to say that we're all pretty sensitive to the needs of our brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe we're all sensitive to the needs of Home Baptist Church, Faith Baptist Church. But many times are we sensitive to the needs of our physical families. You know, in our church covenant, it talks about that we agree, that we engage, that we agree to seek after the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances. We should have a good testimony. And I just think of Joseph. He got beyond what his brothers had did to them. For you and I this morning, can we get beyond family issues? Do you and I bear the salt and the light that Joseph did with his family? Second of all, I want us to notice, again, I've already touched on it, but I want us to notice the importance that Joseph places on his physical family. And I wish this room was filled with young people. I wish young people that I know, I wish my kids could hear this. Not that they neglect this, but I hope they never do. But many times, people grow up, kind of what Brother Eaton had spoke on this morning, and they're so tunnel visioned on success that they grow up, they become successful. Not only do they forget God, which is bad, but they forget their family. They forget where they came from. And how that must break a mother and a father's heart. The greatest thing, and I say this because look at Joseph. He didn't forget where he came from. He had been sold into slavery. He had taken that journey, he had been lied about, and God was with him. We see over and over and over again in Genesis, and God was with him, and he promoted him. But Joseph didn't forget where he came from. He didn't forget his family. And we as God's people need to have the testimony that we don't forget our family. I think of many other problems today in our society. And I know I've said this maybe last time I was here. But many problems in our society and in our country today is a breakdown of the family. I try to impress upon my kids, and it's been taught to me and impressed upon me, and that is family is so important. God is first. Family doesn't come before God. God always comes first. Young, old, or otherwise, God comes first. Family is very important. Family is a great blessing. And Joseph realized this. When I think of family, I think of the many times that we are limited by the fellowship that we can have. I think in studying this and thinking about this, I think there is, we need to go as far as we can with our family. But then God doesn't want us to participate in things for the sake of being a blessing to our families. It's going to compromise our testimony. Even as thinking about this, I have an event in the future, I think, and I weigh, and I think, okay, I know this is coming up. I know this isn't right. If I don't go to this, they're going to think that I don't care. But if I do go to this, then I'm compromising what the Word of God says. God never wants us to compromise what His Word says for the benefit of family. But on the other hand, I think a lot of times we dismiss ourselves from the needs of our family members because we can say, well, they're not Christian or they're not this. That isn't an excuse. We should have a burden. If we have family members that are lost, if we're truly saved by God's grace, and we have family members that are lost, and we don't really get bothered by that, there's something wrong with us. We ought to be burdened to see all of our siblings saved. Our parents, if we have lost parents, we ought to have a burden to see them saved. And obviously children, we ought to have a burden to see them saved. Joseph, as we see here, loved his family. If you're here and you're young this morning, I can tell you, and everybody here can testify, there is no one here that will ever love you like your parents. Next to God, there is no one. Those best friends that you'll have in high school or in college or whatever the case may be, there's no one that will ever love you like your parents until maybe one day God gives you a spouse. Other than that, your parents, if they're normal, they'll love you. There's a natural affection there. Now, I thought, third of all, again, this is for all of us older ones, if you would, that aren't young people, the respect that Joseph had as an adult for his father. Notice verse 12. And Joseph wasn't a teenager. Joseph wasn't a young kid. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. Joseph nourished his father. Think about it. Joseph really, I mean, I don't know if I want to use the word stuck out his neck, but he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do anything for his father. He didn't have to do anything for his brother. But he did. And that's a great example for us. Because in our society today, there is so little emphasis placed upon the duty we have to our family. With broken families everywhere and families that can't get along and disrespect of children to parents and relationships that are severed. We as God's people need to consider the example of Joseph. He respected his father. And probably if there's one that hits me hard, I love my mother. I love my dad. I think back and I thank God that He gave me the dad that He did. But I'll readily admit, in this time of busyness, I don't always take the time to be the son I should be. And our parents are in a different phase in their life than I am. I'm in that phase, and if you're, most of you here, a lot of you here are in that phase, we're pressed by society to make a living, to be busy, to be productive. And we don't always have the time to pick up the phone. Or we don't always make the time to pick up the phone. But we can make the time to pick up the TV remote and sit there and say, I just want to relax. But we need to honor our parents. My parents weren't perfect. No parents here are perfect, and we're perfect. We all made mistakes. We're sinners. But we still need to honor our parents. Joseph did. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, in verse 12, it talks about, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. And that's the first commandment with promise. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's not just for young people. Fourth of all, move away from family just a minute. Think about the integrity of Joseph in verse 1. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen." Joseph, again, was a man of great power. I believe he was the most powerful next to Pharaoh in all the land. He didn't try to sidestep Pharaoh. He didn't try to sneak his family into the land and put them up somewhere. And I thought of that today. Integrity, again, is something that is missing in our country. Even sometimes among God's people. What is even sadder is when it's missing in those that are pastors, preachers, and teachers. And does that ever happen? Sadly, it does. But we need to be people of integrity, as Joseph was. Joseph did not try to be sneaky behind Pharaoh's back for the benefit of his family. Last of all, I want us to notice just the blessings upon the family. Notice verse 6. "The land of Egypt is before thee." This is Pharaoh. How did they get started on this? What? If you have time, or just think about it, maybe you don't need to read it. Read Pharaoh, the new Pharaoh, in chapter 1. Read his disposition. Read his conversations with the children of Israel. Read what he thought of the children. Oh, it was a whole lot different than what this Pharaoh was. We see here in verse 6, and Pharaoh, or verse 5, "And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. If thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle." Joseph didn't try to be sly. Joseph didn't try to be sneaky. And what was the end result? God's blessing was upon it. He went straight forward to Pharaoh, said, "Here's the situation. My father and my brethren are here." He tells him, and Pharaoh says, "Yeah, they can stay." No, Pharaoh says, "They can give them the best of the land. Give them the best of the land." Verse 11, "And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nursed his father and his brethren." What about you and I? Are we people of integrity? What kind of family members are we? Nobody else may have needed this morning, but I know that I did. May God bless his word.